Puck taken back by Campbell, left point. Drops it to Kane on the left half boards. Here's Kane now, juking his way to the right, lower left corner. Should he score? Oh, no, that's turned wide by Layton. Loose puck in the crease. And now it's in the net. They score!
They score!
The Hawks win the Stanley Cup! The Hawks win the Stanley Cup. Layton is down on his knees in the goal crease. And that one looked like it slid past him into the net. They're going to go and take a look. They're going to take a look upstairs. But everybody on the ice, nobody knew where the puck was. Layton froze in the goal crease. Let's see what we have here.
It's in the back of the net.
It's in the back of the net. The Hawks have won the Stanley Cup. Blackhawk fans around the world, you've endured 49 years of frustration. But your patience has finally paid off. Ford Stanley's new address is Sweet Home Chicago.
Yeah. Troy Murray's here. That's a great call. That was a great moment, obviously. You know, Kaner knew it was in. He threw the gloves down. He skates to the other end of the ice. But was it 13 or 15 where you laughed like a mental patient? It had to be
Boston.
Must have been Boston. 17
had,
seconds.
It had to be the 17 seconds.
But there's just a great Troy's lost his mind goofy laugh in that thing that I love. John McDonough, the boss.
That was a good call by John.
But right?
But right off the bat, if you listen to that, John didn't realize the puck was in the net. If you listen to all the broadcasts, the two major networks, Canada and the United States, and the other hometown radio call, nobody knew that the puck was
right.
But if you listen in there, because where we were situated in that game, we were way down visiting radio. It kind of takes the low totem pole position. We were way down there. I could see that the puck went into the net. And in the background, I'm going, it's in.
How did the goal judge miss it? Because it took the goal judge a second to hit the light.
Because it went under the pad and it didn't come out.
Ah, so but the pad's over the line.
The pad hits the back of the netting, but you didn't see it go under there, and then everybody's looking for it. It was tough to figure out, and they really didn't realize that the puck was in the net until they went and lifted the net up, and they found the puck.
And is that puck
which
still,
ended up missing?
Yeah, I was going to say, is that still missing?
Yeah.
John McDonough joins us, you don't have the puck, do you, John?
You know, I don't, but to win the Stanley Cup in 2010 under such a mysterious circumstances, I think will always be part of Chicago lore.
It's been
the only way that we really knew it, even though Troy might have been the only one who knew for sure.
The delayed reaction of everything that happened. The coaches weren't going to celebrate until they got the word from the video inside the locker room. The players were still looking around. Half of them were kind of looking over their shoulder, like, did we really win it? Kane and Patrick Sharp were the only two guys that were beelining it down
to the
other end of the net.
And then you jumped out of the booth, ran down, jumped over the boards. You were in. That was actually my extra part.
Well, what struck me at that moment, Troy, was he better be right.
Yeah, exactly. He knew it. And the funny thing is, if you watch the replay, you look at the Philadelphia players, they didn't realize it was in the net. There's a defenseman, I can't think of who it was standing in front of the net, and he kept twisting and turning to find where the puck was, and he still was in position to defend, and he had no idea that the game was over, and he kind of realized it after everybody started skating at the other end.
And the beginning of the run was on. We were just talking about you off the air behind your back, and it was all positive. Don't worry about it. But I've known you for a long time. We've all known you for a long time. And we were talking earlier this morning about how competitive Chelios is. I don't know that I've ever said this to you. I don't know anybody more competitive than John McDonough.
Oh, well, thank you, Steve. Thank you. I hope that's a compliment.
It is. Absolutely.
Thank you.
I mean, when you ran the Cubs, you said, I'm here to win. When you came over to the Blackhawks, you said, we are going to win, and you've delivered.
Well, yeah, it's an interesting scenario we're in right now. You know, we haven't won a playoff game in a few years, and our fans were accustomed to, you know, that 35-pound silver cup being toted all over the city, so we've got to bring that feeling back. And we are competitive. You know, we're not satisfied at all where we are right now, yet, you know, this weekend you're going to have 12,000 to 15,000 people that are going to descend on downtown Chicago at the Blackhawks convention.
John, if you remember way back when the Blackhawks won in 10, and I always remember this, you said we can enjoy it for a day, and then we got to get back to work. The drive, the fire is still there. What makes that drive continue after all these years?
Well, Well, I think that, you know, we can say that history is going to be kind to, you know, that particular decade or era, but we have an obligation to get this right for the long term. You know, for fans that have made a commitment to the Blackhawks, we want this to sustain for their lives. You're not going to win every year, but the plan is to have you know, a really strong team year after year, not be afraid to make tough decisions, have the right people in the right places. But it's just the pride that we have in being part of this incredible Blackhawks organization.
John, how much, and good morning, how much
good morning.
Better is the vibe around this team as you get set for the convention this year? And how much better position do you feel as president and CEO they are to win this year versus a year ago, 2 years ago?
Yeah, let me add this, John. How many games are you going to win?
Just to specify.
Well, I think the vibe, you know, I think the vibe is always good going into a season, Dave. You know, you come out of the draft, and 31 teams think that they've outsmarted everybody else and that they were the ones who saw something in a player that no one else saw. And, you know, you're going to find out in 2 or 3 years if you're right. And you make, you know, a number of acquisitions, and you bring back Andrew Shaw, you acquire Robin Leonard, and, you know, the defensemen, DeHaan and Mata, you make all these changes. But the formula has to be right, and it has to come together. And I'm confident that it will. You know, it's going to be an important training camp. We start the season in Europe. We start at Berlin, then we go to Prague. So I think there's going to be a good bonding experience for our players early in the season. And we're going to have, at the start of the season, I think 8 of our first 9 games are at the United Center. So we have an opportunity to get off to a very good start. But it's a long season. You know that. I think, you know, we've really strengthened ourselves in a position that we needed to in the goaltending position. Our penalty kill last year was not good. We needed to improve that. And you know as well as anybody, Troy, maybe your best penalty killer is your goaltender.
Well, there was always some concern because of the health of Corey, and that's one of the major reasons that Leonard was brought in here. You know, a big price to pay for another goaltender. But the thought process, if correct me if I'm wrong on this, John, is that if there is an issue with Corey Crawford, then you have somebody who is obviously going to slide right in there, and there shouldn't be any drop-off that maybe we saw here in the last couple of years.
I think you're right. I think it's going to be a 1 and a 1A. Obviously, it's Corey's net, but there might be a little bit more comfort knowing that, you know, Robin Leonard is there. You know, there's 1 year left on each one of their contracts, so it's going to be interesting to see going forward. But, yeah, it was a challenging season, you know, with Jeremy. It was baptism by fire for Jeremy. You know, we put him in a very, very difficult situation, but you know, as you look at it now, it could very well have been a blessing in disguise. He got through it. You know, we went through a stretch of about 2 or 3 weeks where it was incomprehensible what was happening. Every night you're down 3-0, 2-0 with 14 minutes left in the first period. You know, and all of us are, you know, wondering where is this thing going to go. But I'm so proud of Jeremy. Now he's had a chance to bring in some of his own coaches. So, you know, that's one incredibly bright spot. I know you have him on the air on a very regular basis, yep. But I'm really, really proud of the job that Jeremy did last year.
Totally agree.
I was very impressed right off the hop here when the press conference was made, and Jeremy at that time was 33 years of age. Again, John, how impressed were you with his composure for a guy at 33 years of age, knowing that he had some huge shoes to fill, to come in here and be as impressive as he was right off the bat?
Well, there's an old axiom, Troy, that you never want to be the one that follows the guy. You want to be the one that follows after the guy. So he follows Joel, surefire Hall of Famer, the day that he retires. And, you know, we had a tough start. But for Jeremy, winning and losing looked the same. There was no panic. He was completely composed. He, you know, obviously he needed to earn the respect of the locker room. You know what that's like, Troy. I mean, right. These players had never really been around him before. He was successful in Sweden. He was successful at Rockford. But now you've got this 33-year-old coach that, for the most part, our players are unfamiliar with. But you've got to earn that respect. And I think he did. I think there were some challenges early on. But the optimism going into the season that everybody's on the same page and they've embraced this is very positive.
Dave, one more, and then one more from me, and then John has to go to work and throw another convention.
Yeah, what's your favorite part of the convention, John, after all these years?
You know, I think opening ceremonies. It's fun to see, especially people that have never been there again. It has kind of a feel of, you know, a major event, an extravaganza. I think some people are kind of awestruck by the magnitude of it. So I would say, you know, opening ceremonies and the fact that our players, for the most part, we're going to have virtually every active member of our roster and so many of our alumni, and they come in for 3 days just to celebrate their allegiance to the Blackhawks. They're not compensated for coming in here. They do that because this is important to the franchise. So I think the loyalty part of it, I think the opening ceremonies, and I think it humanizes the players. They see the players having a lot of fun. They have the ability to kind of break down that wall, ask them questions, and also touch the organization.
You invented the sports convention back in the baseball days, but compare the first Hawks convention after you came over, because it was pre-Cup, to what we're going to see this weekend.
Well, I think, Steve, the fact that I think the city had been familiar with the conventions that, you know, the Cubs started. We started in 1986, although the idea was actually hatched in 83 or 84. But I think they had an idea what it was going to be. We've sold out every convention. The demand has been great. I think it's the amazing creativity and innovation that Jay Blunk and Pete Hassan and Brian Hall, you know, and Brian Dom and their entire group that they've put together to reinvent this every single year and make it bigger, make it better. The fans, the convention is about three things: players, players, and players. If you have players there, they're going to come, and you've got your great players, and then you blend them together, and it's just a great event.
Looking forward to being with you guys in Prague. I've already got Troy signed up. We're going to storm the castle, largest castle in Europe. I've decided I'm going to lead a team to storm the castle.
Would that be Hose's house?
Says the guy who paid him. Looking forward to seeing you later, John. Thanks for doing this.
Okay, guys. Good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
That's the boss.